We will proceed with the report from the Science and Statistical Committee. Go behind tab number 12. The relevant documents are available for council members. Vice Chair Dr. Patrick Sullivan is here to give the report from the SSC. We'll get recommendations on a variety of stocks. So I'll turn it over to Dr. Sullivan.
At Cornell University, I'm on the SSC. I have been since inception in 1998, was the chair for a number of years. Steve Cadron recently took over from me, but he's unable to make it here today, so I'm pinch hitting for him. What I think I'll do, I believe the order that these documents are in your briefing books, is in this order: ground fish, scallops, herring, red crab, and skates. And so if it's if that seems reasonable to you, I'll go in that order. And what I'll do, if it's also okay with you, I would read through my the SSC recommendations and the justifications for all of these groups, species groups, and then maybe hold off for questions until afterwards. So if that sounds reasonable, what I'll do is I'll start off with the Northeast Multispecies Fishery, the ground fish. And what I'll do is I'll provide, to the best of my ability, some of the justification for the ABCs and then what the ABCs are. I apologize, I don't have any PowerPoints or anything like that, but of course the information should be available to you in the documentation you have in front of you. All right, so in May of 2009, the SSC concluded that in the absence of better information on what appropriate buffer should be between the OFL and the ABC, a relatively simple ABC specification could be applied to all groundfish stocks. And so the SSC recommended that the council should consider ABC specification that uses the same method for all the stocks, groundfish stocks, similar to guidelines for stocks that have not rebuilt at the end of the required building period. So this recommendation is a kind of setting the context here. ABC should be determined as the catch associated with 75% of FMSY. If fishing at 75% of FMSY does not achieve the rebuilding requirements, then ABC should be determined as the catch associated with the fishing mortality that meets the rebuilding requirements. For stocks that cannot rebuild to BMSY in the specified rebuilding period, then alternatively, then even with no fishing, then the ABC should be based on incidental bycatch. And the interim ABCs should be determined for stocks with unknown status according to case-by-case recommendations. So the PDT applied the SSC's recommendations to derive ABCs for groundfish stocks for the years 2010 through 2012. The SSC endorses the stock assessments and projection methods from most of the peer reviews as a basis for the ABC recommendations. And these include 2008 GARM and the 2009 Transboundary Committee assessments, and as well as the Wolffish assessment from the Northeast Data 4 workshop. All right, so we have listed it here by method rather than by species, so they're kind of grouped together by category here. So the ABC based on the 75% of FMSY, so three groundfish stocks are considered rebuilt, and so that's the Georgia Spank haddock, the Gulf of Maine haddock, and redfish. And the ABC recommendations are based on projections that assume 75% of FMSY from 2010 to 2012. Six stocks are expected to rebuild within the required period if fishing mortality is limited to 75% of FMSY. And these are Georgia's Bank cod, Gulf of Maine cod, Cape Cod, Gulf of Maine yellow flounder, American Place switch flounder, and Georgia's Bank winter flounder. And the ABC recommendations for those species are based on projections that assume 75% of FMSY for the harvest rate from 2010 through 2012. Six stocks do not have accepted projection methods. That's the pollock, northern window pane, southern window pane, ocean pout, Alaska halibut, and Atlantic, sorry, not Alaska halibut, Atlantic halibut, falling back on my old haunt here, and Atlantic wolffish. The ABC recommendations are based on the most recent estimate of stock biomass and 75% of FMSY. All right. We have some stocks that where the ABC is based on F rebuild. So that's three stocks that are not expected to rebuild within the required period at 75% of FMSY. And that would be Georgia's Bank yellowtail flounder, southern New England mid-Atlantic yellowtail flounder, and white hake. And so the ABC recommendations for those species are based on fishing at F rebuild during 2010-2012. Okay, so in addition to those, there are some species where the ABC is based on a reduction in incidental bycatch. That's the southern New England mid-Atlantic winter flounder, which is not expected to rebuild within the required period. And the ABC recommendations are based on estimates of discards that result from recent management measures. So those are recommendations, not where they should be allocated, of course. Method four, so for the data poor ones, that's Gulf of Maine winter flounder has unknown stock status, and the ABC recommendation is based on 75% of recent catches. All right, so that's groundfish. And, of course, the table there lists the ABC recommendations for acceptable biological catch for the various species. And if you like, I could read those into the record, but they're there in the table for us to look at. All right, it's groundfish. Next are scallops. The PDT examined the consequences of a range of fishing scenarios and associated probability of overfishing. And the projected loss and yield relative to FMAX. And based on the results of these analyses, the SSC endorses the proposal by the scallop PDT that ABC be based on 25% probability of overfishing. The analyses of uncertainty indicate that a 25% risk of overfishing is associated with less than a 1% loss in yield relative to what would be obtained under FMAX. And so choosing the optimal degree of risk and probability of overfishing is a management option to be determined by the council, not by the SSC, with input, of course, from the scallop PDT and the SSC on scientific consequences of alternative degrees of risk. And so this fishery has a lot of information associated with it, and so it actually makes a sort of ideal case of what we would like to see for most fisheries. And for most fisheries, we would like to see what would happen to the stock under various levels of F, as well as what would happen in terms of yield. And, of course, the SSC needs to consider what happens to the stock, and the council needs to consider what happens relative to the yield, and we hope to achieve something that reduces risk in both categories. So the SSC recommendations in terms of ABC for scallops in 2010 was at 29,578 metric tons, for the overall fishery, and I believe that this includes bycatch mortality, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. That's scallops. Moving on to the herring complex. All right. So there's, as you've seen, as we discussed this morning, there's substantial uncertainty in the assessment. The SSC based its ABC recommendation on two general approaches that ended up producing consistent catch advice. So one approach considered the uncertainty in the overfishing limit, and the other is the magnitude of removals that appears to sustain the relatively abundant stock. So, of course, National Standard 1 guidelines suggest the ABC should be less than the OFL, and that a buffer between OFL and ABC should account for scientific uncertainty. And, of course, this includes retrospective patterns, which are a very worrisome level of uncertainty. So the average retrospective inconsistency in the estimates of exploitable biomass is approximately 40%. And according to the 2009 track, quote, uncertainty due to model configuration is dwarfed by the uncertainty due to retrospective bias. Just as a sort of side note, these retrospective patterns are very concerning. You know, of course, we've seen them in cod in Canada, and they're really hard to try to understand and deal with. So that's a cause for concern. The SSC considers that the magnitude of the retrospective inconsistency accounts for major sources of uncertainty in the assessment. The buffer between the OFL and the ABC should be approximately 40%, which is approximately 90,000 metric tons in 2010. Now, alternatively, if we look at the stock assessment, it's suggesting that the recent catches have maintained a relatively abundant stock size, relatively speaking. Of course, as Gary pointed out earlier, it looks stable now. If the trend in retrospective continues, maybe it won't look that way. That's the uncertainty we have to live with. So the estimates of stock biomass from the assessment from 1998 to 2008 have been greater than BMSY under the current estimates, and low fishing mortality has been less than FMSY over that same time period. So the total catch of the Gulf of Maine Georges Bank herring complex by the U.S. and Canada in 2008 was also about 90,000 metric tons. So given this general consistency in the catch advice from two separate independent approaches, the SSC recommendation is that the ABC should be 90,000 metric tons each year until the stock assessment is revised and hopefully some of this uncertainty is dealt with. All right. Let me read the SSC recommendations in bold. So the OFL is 145,000 metric tons. In 2010 will be 134 roughly. In 2011, 127,000. In 2012, based on projections at the current estimate of FMSY. And that's, of course, as the assessment changes, so do the benchmarks, and so that's challenging as well. The SSC recommends an ABC of 90,000 metric tons each year from 2010 to 2012. The catch recommendations include the combined U.S. and Canadian catch of Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank Atlantic Herring Complex, and of course we're recommending that a new benchmark assessment should be scheduled as soon as possible to address the sources of uncertainty, re-estimate MSY reference points, and consider including estimates of consumption and spatial structure in the assessment. All right, so herring. All right. Red crab. Red crab is something that we've just seen recently at the SSC level. We have a sort of data poor assessment, And as a result, the SSC derived an interim ABC on the basis of status quo catch. The exploitation history of the resource appears to be sustainable. The 2003 through 2005 survey indicated increased abundance in all crab categories except for the large males, as compared to the 1974 survey, which is our reference. All right. Although the average size of the male crabs decreased from 74 through 2003, the 74 survey was at the beginning of the fishery, so some decrease in size structure should be expected. However, there is no indication that the decrease in average size results from an unsustainable fishery. Landings in 2007 were 1,284 metric tons, which is roughly 68 to 76% of the approximate OFL as determined through the data pour workshop. This magnitude of catch provides about a 24 to 32% buffer between OFL and ABC, which is consistent with the general guidance on buffers for data moderate to data poor stocks, which is roughly 25% or 75% FMSY. The SSC would prefer to base the ABC recommendations on a longer series of recent catch. For example, the average catch from 2002 through 2007, which is the most reliable series of catch statistics. the catch is that if we based it on this magnitude of catch, it's at the upper end of the approximate values of OFL that came from the data pour workshop. So there's an inconsistency there. So given that, there should be a substantial buffer between OFL and ABC for data pour stocks and an ABC based on the 2002 through 2007 average landings would contradict this advice. The ABC, the SSC ended up setting the ABC based on the 2007 landings until a better estimate of OFL can be determined. So once again, the overfishing limit for red crab is determined to be about 1,700 to 1,900 metric tons based on long-term average landings and depletion-adjusted average catch analyses from the 2008 data pour workshop. However, both approaches to deriving OFL have technical problems that should be addressed before improved to improve the basis for catch advice. Interim ABC for red crab for 2010 was set at 1,284 metric tons based on the 2007 landings. And we have that out there until the OFL estimate can be reevaluated. The improvement of the fishery and the resource monitoring information is needed to derive MSY reference points and an ABC control rule. Obviously, the industry is quite active and conceivably can contribute a lot in terms of understanding the nature of this fishery, and so we're encouraging their continued involvement. But of course, we've just recently seen this this fishery and these data, and so there's still some work that needs to be done to kind of get it underway. So that's red crab. And then finally, we had a correction in the ABC for the skate complex, and here's that. So the PDT's calculation of the most recent three-year average of the multi-species skate survey index inadvertently excluded the 2007 spring survey of little skates. My understanding is that a zero actually went in there instead of the actual, and so it brought it down quite a bit. So the multi-species skate index increased by about 15% when the 2007 spring survey catch of little skates is included. When the 2008 spring survey catch of little skates, which was available and reviewed by the 2008 data pour stocks working group, when that is included, the index increases by another 11%. So there there's a correction and an update. So the correcting the omission and updating the calculation to spring 2008 produces, as a result, a 29% increase in the multi-species skate index and the resulting ABC calculation, of course, using the ABC method previously recommended. The survey information from fall 2008 was not provided to the SSC, nor was it reviewed by the Data Poor Work Group or the SCATE PDT. Therefore, the ABC recommendations for 2010 and 2011 are based on survey data through spring 2008. The SSC would prefer to consider all the available information in the determination of ABC recommendations, but the SSC cannot consider data that has not been reviewed by a scientific group in the stock assessment peer review or PDT process. We don't do the assessments. We just review them and consider their information for the ABCs. Therefore, the SSC would like to reconsider the 2011 ABC recommendation based on updated survey and data results from the 2008 survey calibration workshop. So as a result, the SSC revised its previous recommendation on ABC for the Northeast Skate Complex. The revised recommendation is that the ABC is 30,643 metric tons per year for the 2010 and 2011 fishing years. The revised ABC is 74% of the estimated catch in 2007, which includes landings plus dead discards. Therefore, total catch, the sum of the landings and dead discards, must be reduced at least by 26%. The 2011 ABC recommendation should be reconsidered by the SSC in 2010, based on the plan development team's review of updated survey data and results from the 2008 survey calibration workshop. Of course, this has to work within the council schedules and the council staff schedules as well, but that's the recommendation that the SEC put together at that time. So those are the five groups that we have the recommendations on, and I guess I'm open to trying to deal with questions if we have any. Thank you.
Questions? David?
Yeah, on the herring, the 90,000 metric tons, there are different stock areas and there's a mixing rate in one area. Is there any recommendation on how we should spread out the 90,000 metric tons amongst the three areas?
Yes, that's a good question, and no, we don't have any recommendations on that. I believe that's something that will be dealt with during the ACL setting procedure, and so it's up to them, I guess. It's not we didn't discuss that at all.
Paul Howard.
That was not a term of reference that was presented to them. But after the if the PDT does get direction to look at mixing rates and things like that that are different than what they do now, I'm sure the council would want the SSC to review it.
Yeah, I mean, the only question I had is should we maintain the ratios the same between the three areas as they are now? In other words, just scale them back or can we take more out of one area than another area, as long as we provide justification for it?
That would be tasking to the PDT for them to do the analysis and then reviewed by the SSC.
Mary Beth?
Thank you, Dr. Sullivan. I do appreciate the recommendation by the SSC that we need a new benchmark assessment as soon as possible, because I certainly do think we need that. I was wondering, I was able to go to the first two meetings in which you discussed herring, wasn't really able to listen through the discussion last week, and I was curious to know if the SSC had a discussion, certainly indicating that the recent removal rates were sustainable for the stock, but clearly if we have an ABC set at 90,000 metric ton, which is the 2007 removal rate, the 10-year average was 115,000, not 90. And certainly if we set an ABC at 90,000 metric ton, that does not equate to a 90,000 metric ton catch. So was the SSC have a discussion about the fact that we at an ABC of 90,000 we will not be sustaining recent catches?
No, I don't believe we discussed that. I think what we looked at was the consistency in the two approaches, and that it was about the level of the recent harvest. But I don't recall us separating it out between the various groups. No.
Because I think that it would be worth some consideration that certainly that 90,000 does not represent recent catch for the fishery. It represents catch for a single year that was impacted by management measures, and that 90,000 does not equate to a 90,000 metric ton catch for this fishery. It equates to much less. And certainly when, as Dave pointed out, when we go through the process of specifications, in certain areas it could result in as much of a 50% reduction in available catch to the fishery based on how we've done specifications in the past. And to me, there just seems to be an extreme disconnect with all of those statements. Stable removals, but a 50% reduction in catch just doesn't add up.
Yes, all I have is that we have the two approaches, and what we came up with was about 90,000 metric tons.
Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Dr. Sullivan. I want to switch to red crabs.
Okay.
Yeah, I attended last week's SSC meeting, and unfortunately, throughout the afternoon, there was a steady movement of SSC members off the table until ultimately there wasn't a quorum for much of the red crab discussion. So I am curious as to what process you used to make your final recommendations, and then I have a follow-up.
Yes, I think, if I recall correctly, we had a quorum almost to the end. Mm-hmm. We had established the general guidelines for what it was that we were going to determine after that, and then once that was established, then that's in the end what we went with.
Well, I thank you, but given that the ABC was set on one year's worth of landings. And I know that the industry's testimony was at the end and couldn't be incorporated in your deliberations. But
yes.
This is a significant reduction for them, and I don't know what the process is to get this information into the full SSC for consideration, but I feel a lot more comfortable. We don't need to move ahead with this right now, this will be hopefully a discussion for later this morning, but I'd like to see the full SSC have another go at red crabs.
I think your point about the process is a very important one. You know, but maybe most folks don't, the SSC does not do the assessments. We review the assessments, and so saw this assessment maybe about a month ago. We had some dialogue with folks there and suggested that, you know, maybe more information should be brought to bear. I think I myself actually suggested that at one point. What I didn't have in mind was that it should be brought to the next meeting and then we'd make a decision. So really, the underlying one of the underlying issues here is the process, and of course, the SSC has to base its information on base its decisions on information, and so we need a process that kind of brings all of this information together in a standardized way, and it needs to be peer reviewed, I myself am feeling a little, you know, I wish the process was a little bit better on this particular assessment. It's not the assessment per se, this management for the species. But we were sort of faced with having to make a decision based on the information that we had, and so this is what came out.
Yeah, thank you. You've really very clearly underscored the growing pains we have as we assimilate the SSCs into all our FMPs, but mm-hmm. whether it's this fishery or the herring fishery, so we're going to effectively cream one fishery after another, and we've got to figure out how to you know, how to do to balance good science and good management. Mm-hmm.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question really is on Red Crab as well, so somewhat of a follow-up. And I, too, realize that we're just feeling our way through this process as we go through it the first time. The SSC report indicated that the landings in this fishery are essentially market-driven and rather than resource-driven, and that the current harvest seems to be sustainable. So given that, I guess I sort of question why 1 year was selected as the basis for the establishing the OFL, rather than, say, taking a look at the midpoint of the recommended OFL range and then applying a scientific uncertainty to that.
Sure. And that's a valid question, and of course we consider that as well. And the trouble is that really the only peer-reviewed information that we have in front of us is from the Data Poor Workshop. And we have the landings information, but as you've pointed out, it's changed a lot based on market considerations and so forth. So had we used the longer-term catch information, that would put us above the comfort zone that we would have based on the Data Poor Workshop output. So, however, if we based it on 2007 by itself, we wouldn't have had that inconsistency. So that's what we went with, and that's the information that we had, and that's the direction that we went with it.
Doug.
Thank you, and good morning, Dr. Sullivan. I have two questions, one relating to Gulf of Maine winter flounder and the second to herring.
Okay.
And the SSC's recommendation is the Gulf of Maine winter flounder has unknown stock status, and the ABC's recommendation is based on 75% of recent catches.
Yes.
And that's what you had recommended. Did the SSC have any discussions in their meetings or discussions at all concerning the PDT's recommendation on the July 13th memo from the PDT to the SSC? And it says, while the recommendation is based on the SSC's guidance for use of 75% of recent catches, the PDT notes that this results in 70% of the catch at 75% FMSY applied to the most pessimistic estimate of stock size given at the GARM 3. Did you have any discussions about their point there and consider whether that might be a more pertinent way to set?
Yeah, that's a good point, and frankly, I don't recall what the discussions were about the Gulf of Maine winter flounder at that point. Obviously, as I stated earlier, we established in May with the council the approach that we would take to try to examine these, and this is this particular stock is has unknown status. We're just kind of hamstrung here, and so that's we're sort of following our protocol and using this method.
So there was no discussion about it at the
moment? Not that I recall. There may have been discussion, but I don't recall specifically what it was. It's been a little while since I've thought about winter flounder.
Tom Neath.
I going a little bit on memory. The SSC did talk about that briefly. They did look at that PDT comment, and they did discuss it. And I think had the GARM said we have two assessments and there's no preference to which one of the assessments we use, then at least some of the SSC members might have been receptive to the PDT's idea. But because what the GARM said is we have no assessment model, not that we can't choose between either one of them, but we have no assessment model, I think the feeling amongst the SSC members was this is a nice piece of information, but it's based on an assessment that ultimately wasn't accepted, so it's really not germane to their discussion. Now, that's my words, not theirs, but I think that's kind of how they were thinking.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, Tom, for that clarification about it. And so, as I understand, the recommendation is just based on a conservative approach, given an unknown status.
That's right.
We just take a certain percentage of what the current stock catch levels are. Okay, thank you. Concerning herring, did the SSC have time to discuss any of the questions that the Chairman Parpilato sent to the SSC concerning the herring track? There's a September 9th memo that the Oversight Committee worked with the PDT to try and craft some questions that we had for the model. Did you folks have a chance to address any of those questions?
Yes. So we did not go through them point by point and address them that way. However, some information. So I was able to glean some information from our discussion to put together some answers. If you would like me to go through them.
Is that appropriate, Mr. Chairman? I'd be interested.
Yeah, it was part of the discussion at the SSC. I think the council would benefit from hearing the discussion around those questions.
Okay, so, and I should note that this was my attempt at trying to summarize our discussion, and what I'm going to present to you hasn't been run by the SSC per se, but I believe this is the general drift of what we came up with. Okay, so let me go through them. There are seven questions, and I can see if I can address them as best I can. So the question number one is, can the SSC reconcile its guidance to the herring PDT about accounting for the retrospective pattern in setting the ABC with the recommendation of the retrospective working group in 2008, that a strong retrospective pattern is grounds to reject an assessment model as indication of stock status or the basis for management advice. If the assessment is to be used for to form the basis for management advice, is it robust enough for a three-year TAC setting process? Okay. My response to that is the retrospective pattern is definitely troublesome. And while patterns in the retrospective typically cannot be used to derive adjusted population estimates, so it's very tricky, very dangerous to say the pattern is changing in this way, this is what it's going to do in the future. We can look at that and say, this is telling us that there's something uncertain there. So the magnitude of the retrospective pattern reminds me a lot of COD. You know, we had a retrospective pattern in halibut, too, Alaska halibut, but it was going in the opposite direction. So this is going down. So the magnitude of the retrospective pattern can be used to explore the level of uncertainty in the model, and so this is the basis of one of the two approaches used by the ABC in determining, by the SSC in determining the ABC. So I think we have an assessment. We're using it. Certainly the earlier years we have more confidence in than we do the more recent years, but we're using it to base the management advice on. It's not being rejected entirely, but the retrospective pattern is causing us to have some concern, of course, and we're trying to factor that into our decision making. Question two was, is it appropriate to use the age-structured ASP model, ASAP model, when configuring the, considering the significant disagreement between the three primary labs that age herring? So I asked some questions of various folks about that, and what I was told is that the discrepancy occurs, as you might expect, among the older age groups principally. So the plus group holds the ages six and older, and so for a lot of this discrepancy, it should this plus group should ameliorate the inconsistencies among the older age groups. Obviously, as the it would be nice to be able to see what's happening with the older age groups and not just have them all lumped in into one plus group. But at this point, dealing with it in this way is taking into account the inconsistencies that may exist between the three sources of aging information. So hopefully that answers that question. Number three, since the stock is not considered to be overfished and overfishing is not occurring, of course that's under the current assessment, what value of F would be appropriate in 2010? So the note that I have here to myself is that the benchmark values of FMSY and BMSY need to be reevaluated. And so we just note that the fishing mortality in 2008 was estimated by the track to be 0.14, roughly averaging about 0.16 since 2002. And so we're using that value as guidance. Number four, would it be appropriate to use the track assessment with higher M to increase previous to address previous recommendations of mortality in that species? And if so, what would be the implications of a higher mortality rate, and would there be an effect on those reference points? So the answer to this is that this question is better left to a benchmark assessment. However, as we noted in some of the other discussions that we had on other species today, often when M increases, the population estimates increase because they have to account for the fish going away. So there has to be fish there for the fish to go away. And so when M increases, generally, if we do a constant value change, population estimates increase. But then, of course, BMSY might increase, and so might the associated estimates of F and FMSY might decrease. So it's not a straightforward proposition. Furthermore, with retrospective patterns as seen here, it's probably not just a shift of M from 0.2 to 0.1 or something like that. M may be changing, selectivity may be changing, catchability may be changing, growth may be changing. Recruitment may be changing. All of these things contribute to retrospective patterns, and it really is going to take a lot of detective work to sort of figure that out. Number five, given the herring resource is composed of smaller groups, spawning components, this is the question David, I think, raised earlier, mixing ratios and migratory patterns remain somewhat uncertain. How does the committee prevent double counting from scientific uncertainty? So the determination of the proportion by area will likely be handled during the ACL setting process. But this is probably not an issue of double counting, as the SSC dealt with the uncertainty at the complex level and not in terms of the spawning component areas. Okay, so the answer to the question is not double counting, but we didn't consider the mixing process, and that will be set later, and it sounds like if you'd like us to look at that after it's been done, we could certainly do that. Number six, what is the impact of the uncertainty related to the 2005 year class? What was the impact of the Canadian catch of the 2005 year class on stock abundance? Would the assessment be improved by adding age one fish caught in both the New Brunswick Weir fishery and the U.S. fishery? Frankly, I don't have an answer to that. Gary Shepard and the NIMS assessment scientists might be better able to answer that, so I'm just going to dodge that question. And if you want to, I don't know if he's still around, Gary, but if you wish him to answer that, I think he might have already done that earlier today. Finally, seven, the reasons for eliminating the winter survey from the assessment model appeared unclear. Does the SSC agree with the elimination of the winter survey from the updated assessment? And yes, we did. Both the hydroacoustic survey and the winter survey were eliminated from this assessment. As Gary indicated, they were sort of offsetting. In terms of the winter survey itself, my understanding, I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm misunderstanding this, it was a shorter time series and that's no longer going to be continued. So ultimately the SSC accepted the revised data inputs. So those are the seven questions that were brought to us.
Doug?
Just to follow up, and thank you very much for taking a stab at those responses, because that can help us in our deliberations today. However, I was wondering if we could still expect in a follow-up meeting that the entire SSC could develop responses to these questions and then submit a formal response to these written response to these questions at a future meeting. Is that possible?
It's up to the council's discretion what the SSC does.
I'd have to ask staff that work on SSC and talk to the chair about when they might be able to get to that. I mean, they're asking them to deliberate these seven questions, right, and provide a written response.
Yes, because that's really what I expected out of this in the first place, and I understand there was time constraints, and I appreciate Dr. Sullivan's attempt to try and address this, but ultimately I would like to have a written response from the entire committee on these seven questions.
Like I said, I'll have to talk to Dr. Cadron and staff to see where we are on scheduling and what's on the agenda for okay. The upcoming meeting or two. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Sullivan, for that summary of the SSC discussions on Sea Herring. My question relates specifically to Sea Herring. And I was there, I witnessed what happened, so I appreciate the, how troublesome it was what you had to review, the information you had in your hand, information from the plan development team, guidance, all of that. So I thoroughly appreciate the task that you had to perform. The question I'm going to ask you probably is an unfair one, because there you are, filling in for Steve Cadron, and you've got to deal with all these species, and there's no way you can answer all the questions, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
Sure.
All right. You do not have in front of you the figure, the retrospective pattern figure that we saw this morning that was
it's
provided to us.
It's in my brain, yes.
It's in your brain. It's in my brain, too. I'll never get it out. But anyways, from the track, I note that if the spawning stock biomass from 1994 to 2008, okay, a long time period, in this most recent assessment, the track.
Most recent assessment, yes.
If it had shown a decline, if the abundance had shown a decline over that time period, similar to the sort of biomass change that we witnessed retrospectively from the year 2001 to 1994, that's in the pattern. Mm-hmm. If it had shown that kind of a decline, then I would be fully supportive of a 40% reduction in the OFL to account for a retrospective pattern. Mm-hmm. but I don't see that decline. It's a level line for the most part from 1994 to the current time, reflecting no overfishing. We're not overfished, and we're at or near the biomass target. Very good news over all that period of time. So my question is, the unfair question is, why didn't the SSC consider and perhaps adopt a smaller buffer reflecting a retrospective difference between the assessments in the most recent years, for example, 2005, 2006, looking at the pattern? Because if you do that, you see a retrospective difference of about 17%. What you did, in part, I think, because the plan development team actually gave you this advice, what you did was go over the entire time period, all the assessments done from 2001 to the current time, looked at the retrospective difference, and then took an average, and that gives you a real high percentage. But again, that's going way back in time to 2001, and my preference continues to be, again, looking at the most recent year's assessments, looking at the retrospective difference, and then applying that as the buffer, all with the understanding that we're going to have a benchmark assessment where we can revisit this in a more thoughtful and very scientific way. So why didn't the SSC consider a smaller buffer reflecting the small retrospective difference between the most recent year's assessments, 2007, 2006, for example?
That's a fair question. I think I can try to provide some context associated with that. One of the things that one's drawn into when one looks at a retrospective pattern is one's drawn to try to see if there's a trend in the retrospective and adjust for it. That's a mistake doing that. Really, the retrospective is telling, what the retrospective is telling you is there's something you don't know about the fishery. If you did know it, then you would have corrected it, and you wouldn't have the retrospective pattern. We want to sort of steer clear of trying to use the retrospective pattern to guess what the changes are going to be, and use it more for an understanding, sort of a recognition that there's something changing in this fishery, and we don't know what it is. This is what happens with cod. Cod collapsed. It hasn't come back. Herring, it's got a very similar pattern, same direction, similar kind of magnitude. We don't know what it is. And right now, you know, we look at the last assessment and we say, well, that's probably the best one. But, you know, if we go next 5 years, it may continue to drop. And herring is supporting a lot of other fish that are out there in addition to this fishery. So I believe that you were there, the discussion of the SSC was focusing on the uncertainty that the retrospective pattern indicated, and we're trying to take that into account in setting the ABCs. And so that's the justification. I understand one's drawn into trying to see, well, maybe the retrospective pattern is not as bad now as it was in the past. Still, we don't know what was going on in the past. We don't know what's changing. We don't know how it's going to change in the future. We don't know where this thing is going. So we're trying to encapsulate all of that uncertainty in the recommendations.
Right. You did the best job you could to try to describe the scientific uncertainty, and that translated into about a 40% reduction in the OFL down to the ABC.
Yes.
And I appreciate that, and I'm not faulting the SSC. I just think it was extremely precautionary in light of what I just said relative to my examination of the retrospective pattern. And this is not your responsibility. It's mine and council members and ASMFC members. How will this ABC translate into ACLs by geographic area? And you've already heard, and I'm sure you realize that it's going to likely, I won't say destroy, but certainly devastate the sea herring industry and those who are dependent upon herring for bait, the lobster industry, for example. There's all sorts of implications here. Therefore, I ask these questions because I need to probe a little bit regarding the extent to which the SSC was cautious relative to scientific uncertainty. And I just submit my own personal perspective, again, not faulting the SSC. You had what you had in front of you, but I do think it was just extremely precautious, too much so, especially in light of the fact that we're going to have a benchmark assessment very soon. You made a very important statement. You said in your remarks in response to my question that who knows what will happen 5 years with continued fishing the way it is now. The retrospective may raise its ugly head. Well, my point is that we'll know shortly with the benchmark assessment, hopefully, where we do stand, and then we can collectively manage accordingly, and it may be in a very restrictive manner. But right now, I think it's so restrictive that that it will translate again into devastation for a large segment of the sea herring industry, and that'll have all sorts of effects. So I've asked my question, and you've responded to it the best you could. We appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Dr. Sullivan. My question goes back to red crab.
Mm-hmm.
Reading this, it says that the stock you derived at the interim ABC by the status quo catch. And it says the exploitation history of the resource appears to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. And then it says the survey indicates that increased abundance of all red crab categories except the large male crabs. Although the average size of male crabs has decreased, it says that the survey was at the beginning of the year and some decrease in size structure could be expected.
Mm-hmm.
With that, it seems to me like you took the lowest landing year that was driven.
Mm-hmm.
And why is such a high buffer applied to it? This fishery, to me, seems to be a very few number of boats, three, I believe it is.
Yes.
And it goes from Cape Hatteras to the Hague Line. So with all the uncertainty, it seems like the buffer could be a little bit less.
Yeah, it actually works the other way. Mm-hmm. With greater uncertainty, the buffer's more. So, and there's a lot of uncertainty. I mean, it's a data poor working group species of consideration, and it would be, nice to base it on historical catches. However, that ran contrary to the only really peer-reviewed data, peer-reviewed assessments that we had. And so our hands were tied. We have the results from the data poor working group. We had a lot of discussion about whether the quality of that was sufficient or not. If we're in a situation, we kind of we spent a lot of time sort of examining various assumptions, where the catch was coming from, the actual catch records themselves, and so forth. All of that ended up creating more uncertainty about this stock than we went into it to begin with, and so we had to fall back on a more restrictive ABC, and that's kind of how it fell out.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Sullivan, for answering part of the question I was about to ask, but I have a process question for Paul. Do we need to move the red crab ABC ahead, recommendation ahead today?
No, there is no process for moving red crab ahead. It is the ABC is what it is. The council neither accepts it nor disapproves it. It is what it is.
Hmm. Well,
if your question is in terms of setting ACLs and the timeline, does it have to be done based on the ABC today? And I think my answer is no. That, our time frame for doing the amendment and the specs, it isn't time critical to today.
Thanks, because the reason I ask is that the industry came forward with a fair amount of data that they presented at the last minute last week, and as we go through our learning curve on how to work with the SSC, I'm just wondering if there's time to challenge the industry and the PDT to have this information peer reviewed and resubmit it to the SSC so that we can have a number that we're all going to be more comfortable with.
I think that's one of the rationale that when you do consider remanding, you look at the impact on timelines. And I'll just give a comparison. The impact on herring is much more than it is on red crab because we're trying to get specs out in place for January or as close to January as possible in 2010. But the impact on red crab is not as significant.
Just a clarification, the council will have to decide on red crab specs in November. So the PDT will be working with that ABC recommendation if the council is going to go ahead with the specs package. Now, I don't know what happens if the council doesn't submit a specs package for red crab, because we were operating under the emergency action where the red crab TAC right now is the days at sea allocations are based on a target of about 1,775 tons.
Okay. Dr. Sullivan, part of our job as council members is to understand all these things, but it's also to educate the public. The public is trying mightily to understand things like retrospective patterns, which they really don't understand very well. So I want to try and kind of revisit your discussion with Dr. Pierce again, just to make sure that we understand it and also try and bring it into terms that maybe the public would understand better. I thought you made a very interesting statement that when you have a retrospective pattern, clearly there is something in the fishery you do not know. There are changes going on that you don't know. And when you don't know what those changes are, it's best not to get in there and monkey around and try to pretend you do know what they are and account for them. That much I understood. That seems relatively straightforward. But if I understood the second part correctly, and this will have implications to all of our fisheries now with retrospective patterns, when we don't know what this is and we're getting this big divergence in the terminal year, the biomass could be up here or down there, that we will always assume now that the most pessimistic number is the number we should work from in setting our OFL or our ABC or whatever?
Yeah, that's a good question. I need to balance my own perspectives with that from all of my colleagues in the SSC, and it's tough. As somebody pointed out earlier, the spread from the retrospective looked like it might have been a random error generated through a simulation in a projection that we might have into the future. And, of course, the pattern looks to be systematic and not random. However, as I was voicing earlier, that can be misleading. I think we need to deal with it on a case by case basis. Would we always choose the most pessimistic one, or even something more pessimistic than the most recent? I'm not sure. We know that even the most recent assessment is probably not going to be the best indication of what's going to happen in the future, because things are likely to continue to change. And we're likely, you know, unless we do a lot of homework and a lot of sort of examination of this, we might not even figure out why it's happening. And so we have to be cautious. And, you know, unfortunately, we're in a situation where we seem to have a lot of data. It's not like other fisheries where we have no data at all. and so this might indicate that there should be a solution forthcoming, but who knows? So I guess I'm not answering your question, but in terms of setting the ABCs and looking at the risk of the stock, as we just discussed with red crab, the greater the uncertainty, the greater the buffer has to be in terms of determining what the ABC should be.
So I know you've tried to answer my question. I know it's a tough question to answer, and this is the crux of the discussion the council will probably have going forward from this on herring. Is it at one level we could have set the uncertainty at, say, 17%, and then at the other level is at 40%, and these translate into reductions, and arguments could be constructed for neither one or anything in between, and those arguments could be right or wrong. Where basically this is then the opinion of the assembled experts that the 40% was the correct way to go.
Actually, we had two separate sort of paths that arrived at the same answer. And one path was looking at the retrospective pattern, examining the magnitude of that, recognizing that that represents uncertainty, and buffering the OFL based on that, assuming that the current assessment is correct and that it won't go down in the future. The other pathway was saying, okay, we've looked at catches. Again, we're looking at the assessment, assuming the assessment is correct, which, of course, there's lots of uncertainty associated with that. Assuming the assessment correct, it looks to be relatively stable. If we keep it at where it's at, that looks to be okay. Those two numbers came out to be about the same. And so we used that as some justification for the approach that we took.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else on the council? Friday.
Yeah, we've got a question, Mr. Chairman, concerning red crab. With all the uncertainty and all the new information and what Mr. Howard said, I would like to make a motion that we send it back for further analysis so we get some better data on it. If that's acceptable.
Is there a second? Seconded by Jim Odlin. Send what back for?
Send the red crab ABC back so we could get.
We want another number?
Yes.
We don't like this number.
No. Not, Mr. Chairman, and not to be, smart, but there's a limited number of boats. It's a large area. It's one processor. It seems to be very easy to control if the number's wrong. That's.
Discussion? Rip?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if, I think one of the other council members indicated that maybe an avenue to take would be to get the information supplied by industry peer-reviewed and so that it could be used in the SSC evaluation of the ABC. I wonder if that isn't the sort of something along that line is the correct avenue to go down rather than saying, approaching this from the standpoint of the number that we're getting isn't good, so let's turn the crank some more and get another one. I'm just trying to think of it in terms of processes we feel our way through this new routine.
Yeah, I'm acceptable to that as long as we get a better look and we got a better understanding of the fishery.
Jim Fair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think it's a question of not liking the number. I think it's a question of really being concerned about the way the number was derived. I think if there's information that the committee didn't see or didn't discuss, or for one reason or another, why they felt it necessary to set an interim ABC based on status quo and then use the absolutely lowest year of landings that they could find, which also may have been caused by low market demand that year, just leaves me a little bit wanting. I think I'd like to see this matter further debated. I don't know whether we can do that in November. If we can, I'm fine with that. But if that's not possible, then I would agree with Rodney's motion.
Well, I think the SSC meets in November, right? December?
December.
And I'm pretty sure they already have an agenda scripted and decisions they need to make. And I'm pretty sure that if we send back to them, try this again, they're not going to have the benefit of this additional information reviewed to a level that they feel comfortable applying it. I don't want to speak for Dr. Sullivan or the SSC, but members of the red crab industry were at the SSC meeting and did present a lot of information. And one of the points they did make was that their fishery was heavily dependent upon one market for a substantial amount of the product that they harvest, and that that purchaser of the product had phased out or was in the process of phasing out the need for the crab. And that's why the downturn in the fishery production was noted, I guess, in the terminal year of the data that the SSC was looking at. I'm pretty sure you were aware of that. Maybe you weren't. Or maybe you didn't feel you could use that. So the presumption here presented by several of the council members is that go back and reconsider that point and base your decision from a different starting point. And we want to manage expectations. If we do send something like this back to the SSC, what makes us think they're going to arrive at a different conclusion the second time around, absent some new information or information that's been reviewed to a level that they're comfortable using and applying in their decision? So there's a lot of questions that I have. I agree with you. I mean, to be honest with you, one of the matters that disturbed me, and I plan to speak to the chair of the SSC, is the fact that we did ultimately lose a quorum and that attendance wasn't as good as it could have been or as good as I would have liked to have seen it. And I know how difficult it is to schedule these meetings, and I know that the individuals that sit on our SSC, this isn't their full-time job serving the council. They've got to go out and make a buck elsewhere as well. So there's a lot of issues going on, and we've got a heavy workload that we're trying to put through the process that we're learning how to use. At the same time, I'm compelled by the fact that we didn't have a full complement of participants at the table during those deliberations. Rodney.
That's my point. If everything wasn't presented, how do we know that the members not present had all the information in front of them? That's my point. I'd like to have them go over it again, review it again.
Dr. Sullivan?
Yes. So I want to respond a little bit to some of the points that you raised. I don't know that I can answer the quorum issue or whether we had a quorum or not towards the end. I do want to comment that I felt bad for the industry representative there and his presentation. I found the information very insightful and helpful. My comment is that I think, and of course this is just speculation on my part, I think if we had a quorum there, we still wouldn't have arrived at a different answer. And part of that, part of my reason for coming up with that justification is that the process was not set up for us to do an assessment there. So our job is not to bring in all of these different pieces of information and do the assessment. Our job is to look at a peer-reviewed assessment and judge how to use that. And so even if we had all the members of the SSC there and the same information was presented as was presented at the meeting, we wouldn't have been able to make any decisions beyond what we actually did, I think, because the information that was brought to bear by the PDT and then by the industry had not been through the process. And it needs to go through the process. And so it's a process question. And the information may be there, and it may be that the industry needs to map out where they were, count their own tickets, come up with that, and then it needs to go through the assessment, and then it needs to have a peer-reviewed process, and then it needs to go to the SSC. And so I'm all up for, I'd like to see this redone myself, but I don't know what the constraints are, and we're at your discretion in terms of what we would do with this. So that's my comment.
I think you outlined what I would like to see, which is to turn what is commonly termed anecdotal or non-peer-reviewed information into or give it the status that allows it to be used in your discussions, your deliberations, and ultimately your recommendation. That's not anything that I or this body has any power over. We can't commission a peer review. But I just hesitate to send something back with the expectation from the council and the industry that these people, the SSC, are going to look at it differently. And I think something more meaningful that this body could do would be to request or find a way to turn that information into something that rises to the level that makes it usable, and then ask our SSC to look it over in a broader context. Chris?
Yeah, 2 points. First, to Rodney's issue. There was a quorum there during the industry presentation of information, and then the quorum disappeared, or there wasn't a quorum after the point before for the full discussion of that information. Although the chair had outlined the options that were agreed to, and then they would resolve the choice of options after the meeting through correspondence. More to your point, one way of possibly validating industry information would be to use the PDT. But as you're correct, if you provide the same information to the SSC in terms of process, are stuck in the same place, perhaps the industry information could be validated by the PDT.
Well, I think, Chris, you're absolutely right that all information, a technical review under the Data Quality Act about landings and everything, can be peer-reviewed by the PDT information. But the PDT in this case didn't do a stock assessment. And what I hear Dr. Sullivan saying is, short of a stock assessment using that new data that's technically reviewed by the PDT, they're stuck with that assessment. So I think there's two different issues there. We need an update assessment. And my question then to to Richard or to Frank is the data pull workshop that we had for Red Crab was when?
What month? It was December of 2008, so less than a year ago.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, regarding the motion, it's unclear to me what's being questioned, what needs to be analyzed. The SSC has recommended an overfishing limit that's based on the Data Poor Stocks Working Group. Is that what's being requested for further analysis, or is it the actual ABC that was established based on 2007 landings? My assumption is that the focus is on 2007 landings, not on the overfishing limit. That's my first question. So I'm getting a bunch of nodding heads. So, all right, it's about the ABC. My other question is, what were 2008 landings and what are 2009 landings expected to be? Does that factor into our discussion? Since, again, we're looking at 1,700 versus 1,900, are we already at that level of harvest in the red crab fishery? Because if indeed we are, then it would influence my reaction to this motion. So do we know what levels of landings have been? Are we already at the overfishing limit or above the overfishing limit that came out of the data pool workshop?
Yeah. 2008 landings were about 1,450. Tons, and 2009 landings aren't available yet. It's too early to determine.
Okay, thank you. Then my last question would be for clarification. 2007 landings of red crab, were the landings lower than anticipated due to a lack of market? And what were the factors that influenced that particular level of catch? Because if it's not related to the biology of the beast and stock status, if it's related to markets, then I can see some reasons why using 2007 landings might be unnecessarily cautious. But what influenced those seven landings? Do we know?
Jim?
I think it's pretty clear that because of the small number of vessels and the fact that they're controlled by one processor, they have the processor has the ability to control the landings very tightly and according to the demand. So that aspect of the fishery is well under control. I don't think there's any consideration that they possibly can could exceed any limit that we set. I think that's very easy for them to do.
From where I sit, there appear to be three possibilities here. We can pass this motion, send it back, and I suspect we'll get it right back. The answer is the same, strong letter to follow. We can tell the industry that they can live with the number until they get their information peer reviewed. They can hire peer review, outside peer review, and then present it again when the information's updated. Or they could wait until there's an updated stock assessment through the SAW-SOC process, which might not be for a number of years. But I'm hearing pretty clearly from Dr. Sullivan that if we just say, send this back for reanalysis, that given the information isn't changed any, that the answer is going to be the same. So I don't really know what to do with this motion. I think at this point the change revolves around getting the information the industry provided peer-reviewed. Somebody's got to do that. The council can't do it. We may be able to submit it to our PDT. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. I'm not really sure. Or the industry can get it peer-reviewed through the Center of Independent Experts. They can hire them if it's that important to them, and I suspect it probably is. We're talking about a pretty big number here. So at any rate, I'm not sure what to do with this motion. But I'm probably going to vote against it as it stands now because I think the answer is going to come back exactly the same.
Sally?
Excuse me. I agree with the comments that were just made. The question is to me also with regard to process. And, you know, we've gone around, had a good discussion about the lack of a quorum and when it was lost. But the way this motion stands for this specific question, I will be voting against this motion, not because I don't think that we should get the best information possible to the SSC and through the SSC. I think we should. But this isn't going to allow us to do that. If we put some qualifications on this, that when it goes back to the SSC, that the SSC would then consider additional data that they weren't able to consider the last time, having been subject to peer review, and with a full complement of the SSC present, then that is something that I would consider voting for. I think that this points out systemic problems that we're just dealing with as the SSC, as we figure out how to work with the SSC, and as we're getting our bearings with that. So once this motion is dispensed with, whether there's an interest in amending it or not, I'd ask the chairman if he would recognize me for a motion that would relate to addressing the more systemic problems with how the SSC and the councils function together. Thank you.
Anything further? I'll go to the audience. Drew?
Thank you. Drew Minkiewicz on behalf of the Red Crab Harvesters Association. The situation, I mean, everyone recognizes there's a problem here. No, I don't think anyone's happy with how this has turned out, and we understand the limitations of the SSC. The question is, how do we move forward in a manner that doesn't cripple this industry in the short term, allows it, an industry that, by the way, this hasn't been mentioned yet, this is an industry that was just certified by the Marine Stewardship Council. This industry just went through a three-year auditing process to show that it's sustainable. And if we were to go ahead with this recommendation, you are going to cripple this industry and wipe it out based on 1 year's data that was big, 1 year's landings, and those landings were totally influenced by the market demand of that year. That's what caused those landings to happen that year, and they are an outlier. If you were to look at the last 6 years from 2002 to 2008, most of the landings were actually around 1,800 or higher metric tons. And there seems to be some confusion, too, that what the data poor working group looked at was that from 1,700 to 1,900 worth of landings seemed to be sustainable. Whether or not that's a maximum sustainable yield hasn't really been determined. That's something that needs to be looked at, because this fishery has shown a growing biomass while catching within that range of 1,700 and 1,900 metric tons, has shown a growing biomass. And so we know that that's, we can sustain that. Whether or not how much additional pressure could be added is not something that has to be looked at. So we're asking for a way to move forward to get, we're committed to getting the information peer-reviewed, getting the information before the SSC in a manner that they can use it. But in the interim, please don't saddle this industry with an ABC that will cripple it. So we don't need to have an ABC or ACL in place in this fishery until 2011. The council can make recommendations independent of an SSC recommendation until that point for next year's catch if necessary. Let's not have the bureaucratic process stop us from doing the right thing here. And let's try and move forward. I think we all are in agreement that it's a successful fishery that can move forward. Let's get more data. Because, I mean, it'll really be, you know, this is the first fishery on the East Coast to be MSC certified. And then for within less than 2 months of that certification, for an ABC to come down to cripple, it would be an irony that I don't, let's not create that example. I mean, here's a fishery trying to do the right thing. Let's encourage that. And we're just asking for a way to, for all of us to move forward within this process. I mean, the SSC, you know, has a difficult job in front of them. They can't, as he said, he can't do an assessment. So we'll get him the information. We'll get the SSC the information. We'll do that. But so I just ask that we're considering if people have to rework the amendment so that it works in a way that allows this to happen, let's please do that. But please just don't allow the status quo to go forward with this ABC recommendation and ruin this fishery just as it's worked so hard to be certified as sustainable. Thank you.
Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave Ellington from Cape Seafoods and Western Sea Fishing Company in Gloucester, Massachusetts. We are catchers, processors, distributors of herring. And I just want to take the opportunity. It would be remiss of me not to come to the table and just clarify some of the things that were said so that when those of us who are going to be asked questions by the 12,000 or so people who are employed in this herring industry and users of herring, including the many lobstermen who are already screaming because of shortage of bait, just to how it's going to affect them. And I'd just like to make one or two points and get some clarification, if I may. The ABC of 90,000 tonnes was described as a number that is similar to the stable removals of herring. Although between ourselves and Canada we may be landing 90,000 tonnes, we would not land 90,000 tonnes if the ABC was 90,000 tonnes. We work with areas where fish is allocated to those areas. There are quotas to those areas, and those areas close when 90 or 95% of the allocation to those areas is deemed to have been caught or will be caught. The 90,000 tonnes has to have the Canadian catch deducted from it before the optimum yield or the allowable biological catch. I'm still using last year's descriptions of these amounts, but we've been operating with an ABC for 2 years now of 145,000 tonnes, and this is going to be 90,000 tonnes. 90,000 tonnes for the next 3 years, or 90,000 tonnes and reducing numbers over the next 3 years. I just want to be very clear that this is a reduction in the ability of the fleet to land by about 50%, and it's just going to have disastrous consequences for those 12 to some say 15,000 people who are involved in this fishery. I mean, quite frankly, if I had a piece of equipment or a piece of software that I was so uncertain about I had to take 40% of the results off because of that uncertainty, I'd throw it away and find something that was more useful and more accurate. I attended the SSC committee meeting, and 99% of what was being discussed was above my head. I don't understand some of the terminology. I don't understand how they get to certain points, and I have every respect for the folks that did participate around the table, and I thank Dr. Sullivan for his presentation today. But, you know, my reading of a 40% buffer was that it could have been 25%. It could have been 30%. It could have been 40%. But of course it was 40%. It was the most conservative number out there. But I don't remember, and maybe it could be explained to me either today or at some future time, but I don't remember how we got to 40%. Like I said, I thought in other fisheries there was a 25% buffer. Why wouldn't there be a 25% buffer in herring? You know, we're talking about an industry where investments have been made in new vessels, modifications have been made to vessels, vessels have had to spend millions of dollars to become purse seiners as well as midwater trawlers to participate in this fishery, and now they're going to be given levels of catches at 50% less, 50% less than they have been used to, and we're looking at 3-year specifications, and from the industry's point of view, it's a disaster waiting to take place. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. I didn't want to cut you off, but if anyone else in the audience wants to talk about red crab, that's in the motion on the board. I'd like to take comments on that. If not, I'm going to come back to the council. Back to the council. Doug, then Dave Gathel.
Yeah, to this motion, I have a comment, and then once we dispense with this motion, I do have some additional questions about herring. But to this, my personal perspective is the process here. I understand and my concern that there wasn't a quorum at the time things were finished. And could this, I don't know if this is within our process, since we're talking about one species in which, from what I understand, the industry presentation was made with a quorum there. Is this something that you could get a conference call together between now and November's meeting to have the SSC try to come up with a consensus recommendation with a full quorum there? Because that's my main concern, and one of the main reasons that I would vote in favor of this is because of the process.
You use the word full quorum. You mean all the SSC members as opposed to a quorum?
No, I meant a quorum.
You did mean a quorum? My understanding is we had a quorum during the presentation, the industry's presentation.
And that's my understanding. But at the time, what I gathered from this information is that there wasn't a quorum when the final decision was made about the ABC.
Pat, I seem to recall that the Red Crab document, like others, was going to be circulated via email before it was given to the council so that members would have an opportunity. SOC members would have an opportunity to comment before the final report.
There's the PDT document, and then there was the industry document. And I believe the industry document only arrived at the meeting, and I believe the PDT document also only arrived at the meeting and not prior to that.
I'm sorry. I meant the recommendation, Red Crab recommendation memo. That did get circulated across the SSC after the meeting?
Oh, yes. The memo itself, yes, was. Right. Yes, our recommendations were. Yeah. So we had a quorum for the presentation of the information. We also had outlined what our recommendations were likely to be while the quorum was still there. And then we circulated, as we always do, the memo that we presented today among the entire SSC membership subsequent to the meeting.
So, Doug, I just wonder what a teleconference for the industry to represent the information to the SSC would accomplish, other than, you know, another opportunity to talk about some extenuating circumstances or provide some explanations for certain data points. So I go back to, I guess Drew made some comments that we're going to go forward and use this information and get it stamped or turn it into a peer-reviewed body of work. You know, we own that. That's what I heard from him.
Hearing what you said, that this document that was presented to us was reviewed, was sent out for review by all SSC members, and there was no objections to it. You got responses back saying no objections. There just wasn't silent complacency. They said, this is okay.
I don't know that we got a vote on it, per se, if that's what you're asking.
Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I like the intent of this motion, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere. At the SSC, they've done the work that they're obligated to do, so I have a motion to amend. And that's to add, after analysis, after new peer-reviewed information is available. And that, if that's acceptable and gets a second, that will allow Drew and John and company to work to get this information that they presented at the tail end of the SSA meeting peer-reviewed, and we can bring it back forward and run it through the process and go back to the SSC.
There's a second. Seconded by Mark Gibson. Discussion, Sally McGee.
Yeah, I had some notes to that effect, and I'd ask the maker of this amendment to consider a friendly, and that would be to add to the end, and a quorum is present throughout SSC deliberations.
Does the seconder agree? Do a friendly? Thumbs up from the seconder. Jim Alden?
Yeah, I had a question that just came to mind of the SSC, and I think I just heard you say that you got the PDT documents the day of the meeting, and you went through every one of these stocks, and you made a decision based on information that you had just gotten that day. I think, to me, that's troublesome.
The PDT met late before the meeting, the previous week, and I believe it was they probably got a PDT report 5 days via email before the meeting. The industry had asked to make a presentation at the meeting, so the industry came forward and gave that presentation at the meeting, and that information wasn't available to the PDT or another group before then.
Okay, because I misunderstood what was said. I thought that the PDT document was available that day, and that would have been troublesome.
Yeah,
for
I misunderstood.
Thank
as well.
You.
Yeah. Anyone else? Pat?
Thank you. I support the motion to amend for the reasons the maker of the motion stated, but I wanted to talk about the timing process a little bit, too. Just so there are no surprises later. We do need an ABC recommendation from the council in November in order for the council to submit the specifications, hopefully anyway, in time to have them in place for the next fishing year for Red Crab, which starts in March 2010. So the council will still have to deal with this ABC recommendation at the November meeting.
Frank?
I'm going to support this as well. I mean, the first motion, I understand where it came from, but I'm a process person. And if they didn't have a quorum, that really bothers me. We let murderers go when they're not read the Miranda rights. We let people go if they don't have a search warrant. We let, in our justice system, process means a lot. And if the quorum wasn't there when the decision was made, if it goes back to them and we come back with the same information, that's fine, but you have to follow that process.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, I'll support the motion, especially because I see a bit of inconsistency in the recommendations coming from the SSC specifically. I note that they say, given the data poor nature of the stock assessment, the SSC derived an interim ABC on the basis of status quo catch, and then they used 2007, but status quo was not 2007. Status quo was 2008 or 2009. So I see an inconsistency here and a need, therefore, for the SSC to further reflect on the nature of their decision.
Anybody else want to take a swipe at this, or can I call a question? Ready for the question on the motion to amend? Raise your hand. I think that's unanimous. Opposed? Abstentions? Now we're on the main motion as amended. Anything further? I'm ready for the question. All those in favor, raise your hand. In favor. Unanimous. Sally?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I mentioned earlier and as everyone's discussed here, I do have a motion that I'd like to offer related to process. If I could at this time offer that motion. And so I would move to request that the NRCC add to its October agenda consideration of an improved process for the exchange of information between councils and SSCs. This may include consideration of and maybe if the, I don't know if bulleting these out will make it easier to read, but there are three items. Providing a more open and transparent process, ensuring that the SSC has sufficient time to consider best available information and to thoroughly respond to the council's need for scientific advice. And lastly, including a sufficient range of experts in deliberation relevant to the topic / species at hand.
For a second. Seconded by Terry Stockwell. Give you a moment to look it over. Take comments. Paul Howard.
Well, I think my only issue is that this is, you know, we're adding the NRCC into the process, which is a group of the Science Center, the PAT, Mid-Atlantic Council, and the ASMFC. And so that's one way to do it. Another way to do it would be to just say, you know, test the council. What's our best process for including this rather than go to the NRCC? But it's another way of doing it.
I think in this case, I understand your point, Paul, but in this case, I believe that the Mid-Atlantic is wrangling with some of its own concerns over the back and forth in the process, and we may just benefit this time in October having an open exchange between the Mid-New England and having our partners at the table, the Science Center and the regional office, trying to troubleshoot a better way to address some of the concerns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and greetings on behalf of the Mid-Atlantic. It's a pleasure to be here with you all today. As some of you all are aware, we did have a similar situation at our meeting last month where we wrestled with the question of whether or not to remand an issue to the SSC, and that raised very substantive process concerns in our venue as well. And for us, we have some complicating factors in that we have to take into account how to deal with these questions in the context of joint plans that are managed jointly with the ASMFC. And so we really do have some very substantive process concerns that we're trying to address. And to that end, we've scheduled a meeting of our executive committee on October 13th in Ocean City, Maryland. And the first half of that day is going to be dedicated to exactly this question. But I think it probably would be informative to have some NRCC discussion ahead of that meeting so that we can address some of these questions, because clearly as the process evolves, some of these concerns are going to come to light and absolutely have to be addressed and resolved. So I think we're committed to doing that through the process that we've laid out in our executive committee. We'll then go to our council, but I think that process would probably benefit from some NRCC discussion. But I do have a question, if I may, for the maker of the motion, and that is just a little bit of discussion on that third bullet. Does that specifically speak to SSC membership, or is this contemplating the involvement of other participants in the SSC deliberations? I just ask that as a point of clarification. Just build a mid.
What was the question?
I got it.
Let's try this again. Question was just a question for clarification on that third bullet. That indicates to include a sufficient range of experts in deliberations. And I'm curious to know if that relates to SSC membership, or are you contemplating what other outside sources of information you might have present during SSC deliberations?
It just has to do with outside experts. It doesn't have to do with the membership of the SSC. It's getting to the problem that we were trying to deal with in Red Crab, but making sure that more systematically we're figuring out how to incorporate experts, expert opinion, additional peer review aside from a stock assessment into the deliberations of the SSC. So outside experts. And if I could, just one clarification on the motion. The second bullet starts at the word ensuring. So the first bullet is providing a more open and transparent process. Bullet two is ensuring that the SSC has sufficient time to consider best available information to thoroughly respond to the Council's need for scientific advice. Thank you.
Anything further? Dave Gaither?
Yes. I strongly support the motion. I think you definitely need to have a discussion amongst all the groups that are involved in this. Essentially, what's happened here under this reauthorization of the Magnuson Act is most of the functions of the council have been subsumed by the SSC. You know, they are the ones that are effectively managing the fishery now. We just sit here and more or less raise our hands in support. I mean, this is the assembled people on the SSC are setting all the numbers that from which we manage the fishery. And I think you need to very carefully consider the ramifications of some of the things that you've heard here today. I think the public has a right to understand what's going to happen. The public has a right to some transparency. And the public has a right to believe that at least a sufficient number of people were there to make an informed decision. I understand everybody's busy. But if you make a commitment to a committee, you should be there for the duration of the meeting. There are other airplanes and other flights. I'm sorry. This is, you know, this group of people in here and in the Mid-Atlantic and all the other councils is basically has the ability to shut down fisheries and throw thousands of people out of work. And along with that comes a great deal of responsibility. So I hope you'll have a very thorough discussion of how this process is going to proceed, because it doesn't sound like it worked all that well in this last meeting.
Mary Beth?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support the motion as well, and I have some of those concerns that Dave has, but a little bit of a different take on it, really. I mean, I wonder if at this point we're asking them to do too much. I mean, we're giving them a very short period of time to make a whole bunch of decisions about fisheries that they, quite frankly, are not familiar with. I mean, some of the answers that Dr. Sullivan provided on herring of not understanding the specification process and what the implications to the fishery would be of this particular ABC, clearly the panel is not aware of that, did not have a discussion about that. They've not had enough time to do any of that, quite frankly. We're trying to get them to do too much in too short a period of time, with a whole new process and a whole bunch of information they've not seen before. And in some, we need to slow down, I think, and give them the time to figure out more about the fisheries, the impacts of the decisions they're making, and I'm not sure that this will do all that, but I do support the motion.
Go to Jim, and then I'm going to call it. Jim?
Well, this question is to, I don't know, somebody that might know. But in the answer may have me make an amendment. And my question is, probably to the chair, that my understanding of the Magnuson is that the SSCs are required to have socio and economic experts on the panel, yet I see no consideration in any of the reports for any of the socio and economic implications of the actions that they're giving us, or the advice they're giving us. So maybe I'm wrong. I see Pat shaking her head. So if we're not required to have them on the panel, then I'm wrong. And if we are required to have them on the panel, shouldn't we make that a bullet here to ask the NRCC to look into what does that mean? Just what does that mean?
From my opinion of reading the Act and the intent of the new Magnuson Act was that the SSC would not consider social and economic impacts at all. That's a council national standard NEPA process, that they were only to look at the science. We have put on ecologists and social and economic people on there to, when we do an EIS, if we use economic models, if we use ecological models, that they would be there as giving us advice on socioeconomic analysis, if that was a TOR, models used for economics, things like that.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Unanimous. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, I know we have lunch to consider and groundfish for this afternoon, Mr. Chairman. However, I would like to make a motion that's relative to herring. The reason why I need to make this motion is I'm a member of ASMFC as well as this council. ASMFC has the responsibility of also setting quotas in cooperation, consultation with with this council. And I know what the effects of this particular ABC will be for sea herring. I know what it's going to be. I said some things this morning relative to my concerns about the retrospective pattern, and I know what the SSC had to consider. However, I think there is an opportunity here for the SSC to give further consideration to another important issue that has dramatic impact on the survival of the sea herring industry in New England, and perhaps the lobster industry, too. I would move that we request the SSC revisit the size of the 40% buffer between OFL and ABC to consider whether application of recent years retrospective difference of about 17% is sufficient to account for scientific uncertainty caused by retrospective patterns.
There's a second. Mary Beth Tooley. Discussion? Doug?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As people have probably heard through committee meetings and at ASMSC, a lot of us, including myself, have been struggling with this as a transition between our current management practice, which appears to have been quite successful, and the new management practices that are guided by the new Magnuson Act. I have struggled, as you've heard, with the fact that we have a flat SSB and a fishing mortality that's well below our FMSY, even if you take into consideration the retrospective pattern. And on top of that, we have reduced landings in the past couple of years to try and stay within the fishing mortality threshold. This, while I realize that Magnuson says that the ABC that is set by the SSC is what we're going to be dealing with, and we need to follow that. I hope that we will have a process where we can have this type of interaction. The thing that concerned me with the process, and I guess this may be going back to my time as a scientist, was that for the retrospective pattern, they used an average and came up with 40%, which I feel is something that I would have done as a scientist. But when they were using the other method to compare and try and validate that as a as an as a reasonable process. They used recent landings, and they used 1 year's worth of data as opposed to an average, again, over a series of years. I know if I'd been on the SSC, I might have argued for using averages as opposed to point estimates. So for the purpose of trying to explore whether we have a process set up where we can have at least a dialogue where we can recommend potential alternatives for them to consider, I'm going to support this motion. Now, if it turns out we can't because of Magnuson, well, then so be it. But I'm going to support this at this point in time.
Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just for clarification for staff and PDT and workloads, I would assume that we have timelines in order to meet our development policies and to get things implemented on time. So right now we're scheduled in both Herring and in Red Crab to approve the ACLs at the November Council meeting. So based on both these motions, my assumption is that we will, on staff, try to get the SSC to meet in order for us to continue to make those decisions at November. Either they meet, I don't know if they're by conference call with the additional information, or they meet in person. But we'll try to do that in October and have the information ready to make our decisions in November on our timeline, because if we delay Herring, you know, that fishing year is January 1st, so we're scheduled to make it in November, and Red Crab is March 1st. Now, short of if they can't meet before the November Council meeting, my assumption is we use the ABCs that are in place now and set the ACLs based on those ABCs that we received at this meeting. That's my assumption.
I would agree with that assumption, and I would also ask that even though it's not the most favorable way of doing this, that they consider the potential of a conference call. I know in a lot of our ASMFC deliberations, both at the technical level and at the policy level, lately because of budget constraints, we have had to use the conference call format. Now, it's not my favorite format. I don't think it produces the best, it allows for the best kind of discussions, but when you're in either a financial or a time crunch, sometimes you have to do something that's less favorable. So I would hope that we could potentially, if we can't get them together for a face-to-face meeting, that they could at least try and do something via conference call.
As critical as our timeline on ACLs in November is the timeline for the spec process. Okay, well, specs, I mean, our first joint spec meeting is scheduled for October 6th. So we could be spinning our wheels if we don't have an answer before then. So my support or not support for this motion would be dependent upon whether or not we could have an SSC meeting scheduled before then. I guess I'm assuming that if we can't, then we're going to have to stay with a 40% buffer and keep on going. Otherwise, your time, my time, staff time, industry time is will all be wasted.
Chris, you still have a Federal Register notification requirement of an SSC meeting, so that's. We need 25 days just to get the notice out before a meeting. About 25 days.
Relative to the Herring specifications process, we do have a joint committee section meeting scheduled for October 6th to identify the options that will be analyzed through the specification process for the ACLs. My suggestion would be obviously, at this point, if this motion passes, and we're not going to have any new or different SSC advice before October 6th, I'm doubtful we'll have it in time for November. But my suggestion would be to move forward with the current ABC recommendation in terms of developing the options for the ACLs at the October 6th meeting, with the understanding that if ABC changes, we take the options that we have under consideration and scale them upwards proportionately and redo the analysis rather than come back and try to develop all new options. You know, we're talking about dividing an ABC into management areas, and the proportions that are selected for the options can remain the same and just be scaled upwards based on the ABC.
Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do support the motion. I think that there needs to be a better understanding of balancing the retrospective pattern with what has been a very stable biomass over time. You know, it was indicated at one of the SSC meetings that the one piece of real data we have for this fishery that's absolute is catch, and the catch has been very stable over time. And earlier there was mention of this retrospective pattern looking similar to codfish and the possibility of a collapse of the stock. And to me, that just seemed really an unbelievable comment to hear. And so I went and looked at the fall and spring survey for the mean number of towhead age and the totals that they produce. So for the fall survey between 1975 and 1984, we had a low of number in the survey mean of 0.292. This is during a period in which we had low abundance of the stock. We had a high during that same 10-year period of 0.7648. And then you go and you look at the recent time frame, starting in 1999 through 2008, we had a high of 77.1489 mean tow in the survey and a low of 13.4763. There's nothing about these numbers that indicate any collapse of this resource and actually don't indicate anything but a recovered resource. So when we think about taking draconian measures that are going to cause plants in Maine to close and people to be out of work, we need to keep this in mind. And granted, the SSC is not supposed to look at social and economic impacts, but we need to have a real conversation about what it is we're doing.
Mark Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this motion is a different read than the Reb Crab one, which was amended to include the concept that they were only going to meet and have this discussion if there was additional peer-reviewed information provided to them. And with regard to the executive director's comment, that's what I understand. That if they don't get some peer-reviewed information, they're not doing anything. And I don't know how fast that will happen or if it could happen. There's no connotation here that there's going to be anything additional provided to the S&S committee to review. And I mean, I get problems with the stock assessment, but this isn't going to fix the stock assessment. That, you know, if that gets changed, it'll be done through a peer-reviewed stock assessment process. So I don't think this is going to go anywhere relative to changing the advice the SSC is giving you on ABC.
Anyone else?
Dave Pearson. Yes, I'd like to ask Dr. Sullivan a question through the chair, and that question would be, if this motion passes and if the SSC was to concur with the number 17% instead of 40%, what does that practically mean? How does that raise the ABC by how much? Or do you know? I'd like to know what I'm practically voting on here.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could do the math on the fly. So are we talking about maybe David can talk towards this? 40% versus 17%.
Okay, so practically speaking, it means that there would be a 23% increase in the proposed ABC, which would be roughly 20,000 tons, roughly. And by the same token, if the SSC picks some number in between, then there's, you know, I mean, this motion doesn't bind you to only look at 17 or 40. It says any. I assume it means anything in between as well, just so I'm clear.
Or maybe lower numbers?
Yeah, well, I said it's about 17% because that is the approximate percentage that I pull off of the retrospective figure relative to the last few years for which we had an assessment in overlapping years to compare what we thought it was versus what it actually was. So that's why I say 17%. There's not a wide range here. It's a motion that is responsive to, you know, that critical figure regarding the retrospective pattern.
You all set, Dave? Anyone else? Pat?
I have a question for Dr. Sullivan, too. I thought this was part of what the SSC did consider already. So is there something that you see that's different here that would indicate to you that the SSC had something to talk about and might potentially end up with a different solution or a different answer, rather?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm just kind of gauging this based on what I would see happening at the SSC meeting. It's an alternative proposal, but we don't. The information is still the same information that the SSC considered, unlike the Red Crab, as was raised earlier. And so, on the one hand, I would support what the idea is here, that there should be a dialogue and between the two groups, especially with the new process that's involved. But at this point, I don't see any additional information that would likely change, you know, what the SSC would consider. But I'm just one member, and I can't say what we would actually, you know, what new numbers we might derive. If that answers your question.
So it's the same information, it's just how you view it or look at it that I think is being suggested in the motion.
I take Dr. Pierce's point. I'm not sure it's going to change anything, is what I'm saying. That's just my honest opinion, and maybe it's worthwhile talking, and I don't know that I can be representative of the entire SSC, but obviously if some number was incorrect, as what happened with the skates, we can go back and change and so forth, but I don't see really any change in the information content here, and so I don't. I'm not sure. I would see that anything necessarily would change on this. Just, you know, my guess as to what, you know, what the outcome would likely to be. That's not to say that you should not submit this to the group and have them consider it. I'm just telling you what the likely outcome might be.
Thank you. Anyone else? Terry?
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm certainly not opposed to asking the question, but I am a little concerned that the buffer might get wider. Is that a possibility? I mean...
Well, we are opening the box again, so...
Dr. Pierce?
I suspect the buffer is not going to get wider because actually 37% was considered initially, and then they said round it up to 40%. So they rounded up already. I don't think they're going to round it up anymore. It's a question of my logic that I offered up earlier on relative to the interpretation of that retrospective pattern. I think it's sound logic. It's reasonable. It was not discussed, was not considered, it was not offered up at the SSC. Again, no problem for the SSC there. It was not part of any discussion that I witnessed, and I think it is a critical aspect of this ABC setting process that needs to be looked at, revisited, once again, because of the implications of this number for ASMFC
the allocation strategies will have to be adopted by ASMFC states, notably Massachusetts, Maine, and New Hampshire, and in light of the impact on other fisheries. I can't downplay the significance of the fact that this warrants further consideration. Again, it's socioeconomic. I understand that, but still, it's a reasonable request to make to see if indeed the SSC will consider this strategy to be reasonable, especially in light of the fact that we are going to have a new benchmark assessment very soon, and we'll be able to set new quotas based upon that benchmark assessment. But I would like to have an industry still standing when we get that benchmark assessment, but so we can have something to manage, and we're not going to have it. And we need lobster bait as well. There's all sorts of implications here. So it's a reasonable request. The SSC really didn't consider the logic I offered up. I'd like to have that happen.
Okay. Anyone else? Dr. Sullivan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we go forward with this, I would ask that the term sufficient might be clarified in terms of 17% is sufficient to account for scientific uncertainty. So if we could get some clarification on what that means.
Paul Howard.
I would also make an assumption, Mr. Chairman, that we usually give very specific terms of reference that are beyond the, you know, general motion, so that, you know, staff would be preparing terms of reference based on these motions that would be very specific and vetted through the chair.
Anyone else? Mary Beth?
Just one additional thing. It's really not part of the motion, but I did bring it up earlier. The report from the SSC says that 90,000 is representative of recent catch, and I would hope that if the SSC has a discussion that they would have a discussion about that number, because, I mean, the 10-year average for this fishery is 15,462 metric ton, and 90,000 is not representative of recent catch. So it's not part of the motion, but I would hope they would just consider that.
Take a few comments from the audience. Ron?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Fisheries Survival Fund. This is a very important issue that we're just at the earliest stages of this. The law doesn't just allow the sole ABC decision to come from the SSC. It also allows an alternative, which is a peer review panel. And I think it would be very important for the council to examine how that, an alternate ABC, could come in through a peer review panel. For example, could Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine go back, put together a peer review panel, and come to the next council meeting and provide an alternative ABC? Similarly with the red crab, could the industry put together a peer review panel and come back with an alternate ABC? Is that established enough where at the next meeting an alternative could come in from a peer review panel? And that could be made up with some SSC members. It could be made up with Northeast Fisheries Science Center members and state biologists. So there's an alternative other than just the SSC. And I'm just wondering whether that information could come in at the next council meeting or even committee meetings. I'm very concerned about that because at some of the SSC meetings, I've had questions with their decisions, and I was trying to figure out how one goes back and revisits an SSC decision. It seems the only approach is an alternative, which is the peer review panel option. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jeff Kalin, representing Lunds Fisheries from Cape May, New Jersey, and I want to speak in support of the motion. And I wanted to make a comment that it's not just, you know, Mass, Maine, and New Hampshire that will be impacted by the very draconian position that the SSC has taken here. It's going to have a great effect on the mackerel fishery also, and this is going to reverberate beyond the Gulf of Maine. It seems to me, you know, one term of reference that you might suggest to the SSC is something along the following lines, that we know that there's been retrospective bias in this model in the past. It's the second time the model's been used. My memory is that about a 2 million metric ton biomass was estimated before this ASAP model was used in the last peer-reviewed assessment. The biomass estimate was reduced by about half, about 1.1 million metric tons. And this time around, it was reduced the biomass estimate in half again. Now, I don't know which one of those projections is correct, but the council took into account the retrospective bias in the model the last time we did specifications, and it's represented as the 29,000 metric ton buffer that's deducted from the 194,000 metric ton ABC before the USOY is determined. That's about 15% of that ABC. So this motion is, you know, relatively close to what you've already done in considering retrospective bias in this model in the past. So a question to the SSC could be, is the magnitude of retrospective bias in this model run significantly different than it was 3 years ago when the council was comfortable with the 29,000 metric ton buffer for scientific uncertainty? That's one suggestion I might make. I think the 40% is just grabbing at straws. There's nothing in the resource condition that seems to indicate a problem of this magnitude. We're catching the quotas in the areas where, except for George's, where it's difficult to get some of the fish out because of bycatch concerns. So I'm strongly in support of this motion. I don't want to continue to go on about the real significant impacts that this ABC advice is going to have in the herring industry, and how shocked we are in the industry that this kind of result could have come about, that we literally lost 90,000 metric tons of OY in an afternoon, a couple of afternoons. It's just outrageous. And I said it at the SSC meeting, and I'll say it again today. If these kinds of estimates were done in the private sector, and the magnitude of error was as significant as it has been each of the last two times this model was used, people would lose their jobs. Now the fishing industry, again, will lose their jobs. Everybody else will get their check every couple of weeks, and there's going to be a significant reverberations in the herring fishery and the mackerel fishery as a result of this, which we don't think the resource condition supports. Thank you.
Just for the council's information, as Dr. Sullivan did indicate, the SSC sort of applied two approaches to their logic behind the ABC recommendation, one being an adjustment for the retrospective pattern, which was about 37%, rounded to 40%, and the other being an evaluation of recent catch in the fishery. And as Dr. Sullivan indicated, they both came out around the same, which was 90,000, which was the ABC recommendation. 90,000 tons was the 2008 catch. It was the lowest on record since 1994. And as Mary Beth indicated, if you use the term recent catches, the recent catches in the fishery have been have averaged quite a bit higher than that, maybe around the 110 to 115,000 mark, depending on the years you use. I just did some quick math because Dave Gaethel had asked, and if you take the OFL recommendation for 2010 and apply a 17% buffer, let's say you round it up, to 20%, using sort of the same logic that the SSC used in their original recommendations, you end up at a number about 116,000. And even if you apply a 25% buffer, you end up about 109,000. So, you know, I would just hope that if this motion passes, the same logic that was made in the original recommendation could be considered in this recommendation, and perhaps a reevaluation of what the recent catch actually is in the fishery may be part of the deliberations. It just, you know, just like the original recommendation gets you to the same place under both approaches, if this motion passes and the SSC considers it, I think that the similar approach can be used and get you to the same place.
Patrick.
Patrick Paquette, Massachusetts Striped Bass Association, Recreational Fishing Alliance, Massachusetts. I had first a question and then a short comment, but the question is, could we really get, and I think it would be helpful for council members and the public in the room, to get an understanding of what this motion will mean to the timeline regarding Amendment 4 and Amendment 5? Because with no additional information being brought to the SSC, it seems clear, at least to me, that this is another stall tactic that's going to delay, and could actually affect that timeline for Amendment 4 and Amendment 5, and may actually be counterproductive to the overall point. Because if this was to delay at all, and considering that at every Herring Oversight Committee meeting, all we hear is no staff time, and not enough staff time to get done, to dedicate more staff time to something that is unlikely to change may actually push out. And until we can shrink the uncertainty in this fishery, I mean, right now the volume of this fishery is massive and the uncertainty is just as massive. And until the new monitoring amendment passes and is implemented, that uncertainty is going to stay there. So I'm wondering and would ask you to consider that this motion may be counterproductive to the actual goal of the motion, because until we get Amendment 5 in place, the uncertainty is not going to shrink. And unless you're counting on the SSC being filled with weak-minded people, which I do not think anybody believes that, they're not going to just change their mind because this is tough. And it's unfortunate, but it is tough. So one, staff members could be wasting their time that could be better done working on the proposed management plans that we have moving. Two, this thing could be counterproductive, this motion. And at the same time, there's a lot of herring killed. It is very likely, or at least in my opinion, the big hole in herring data is what gets dumped out of these nets. And we continuously hear about mixed catches that can't be pumped that are 50% herring. We have these huge numbers of observed bycatch of herring NK, herring not known. We have no numbers of sea herring. This is hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tons being dumped back into the ocean, and you'd have to make an assumption that that's a possibility, that the retrospective pattern is showing all these dead fish that aren't being counted. And that could be our hole. So I think there's a lot of reasons for the council to really slow down a minute. You have a monitoring program, a bycatch amendment in play. And when that is done, we'll know a lot more. And that, I think, is going to close the hole that's here. And I think this motion is going to do the opposite thing.
Okay, come back to the council. Anything further from the council? I haven't said much, but I just want to say that this vote is, while it appears to be about herring, to my way of thinking, it's about much more than herring, and it's about how we interact with our SSC. I think from time to time we do have good reasons or rationale to tell them we're not pleased with the work that they've done and the answer that they've provided us. But as a general comment, I'm very uneasy about getting numbers that we don't like and finding ways to ask the SSC to reconsider, because we don't like the number that they've given us, because we don't like what it means on the social and economic side. My read on the Magnuson Act is that's explicitly why things were done the way they were done. You have an SSC body that looks at the biology and the assessments and gives us a number, and then it's up to us to figure out how to allocate that number or how to manage that number. There's a clear purpose in that division. And whether it's an SSC or another panel or another body, as one of the commenters brought up, our council has impaneled an SSC and has chosen to use the SSC as our stock assessment review body. The ABC numbers that our SSC gives us are non-negotiable. We can ask them to reconsider them. That's apparently what we're doing here, and that's what we asked to do in Red Crab. So those are my 2 cents. Doug?
I see this as a motion for them to consider alternative methods. And I also, I don't know if the maker of the motion would be willing to add a friendly amendment line that would ask the SSC to use both methods again. They discussed one, looking at a percentage of the retrospective pattern, and two, look at more than 1 year's worth of landing data.
Does the maker and seconder agree? Is it friendly? Mary Beth?
Mostly yes. I just wonder if we should define more than 1 year's worth of landing data. If the person offering the friendly would consider looking at the last 10 years worth of landing data, which has been fairly steady over time.
Maker and a seconder. I haven't heard from.
Yeah, I want to make this as simple as possible and consistent with the logic I've offered up before. So I don't accept it as a friendly. I just want the SSC to, again, take another look at the retrospective pattern, the recent pattern, to be applied to the overfishing level for the creation of an ABC. It's just short and sweet, simple. I think that should suffice.
You heard that, Doug? Are you making a motion to amend?
Nope.
Okay, friendly language is stricken from the board. Anything further from the council? Ready for the question. All those in favor, raise your hand. Eight in favor, opposed. Seven, opposed. Abstentions? Motion carries 8-7. Anything further? Dr. Pierce.
Well, I have a related issue. However, in light of the fact that the motion passed, I'm going to hold off on making another motion that relates to a bigger issue relative to impact of SSC decisions on other fisheries. I'll hold off on that till the time when we talk about the eventual ABC that we have and the ACL specifically.
Sally?
Yeah, I'd just like to point out that with such a close vote, this is all the more important that we get the process right. So when the NRCC meets, you know, whatever their recommendations are, I think the council is going to need to consider that very carefully so we don't end up in this kind of situation again.
Okay, we're on lunch, back at 2:15. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I don't know. I hate the perception of the second guessing.
I just, really struggled with this. So much of the assessment pointed towards a healthy start. I hope he stops working as well.